Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos Daf Pei Vav, and we will begin on Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis, the bottom line. Emvian Lamed Beis Hazvalim. Actually, our Mishnah, our Gemara is not focusing on that part of the Mishnah. Our Gemara is focusing on the next part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, Emvian Faktan, that a Faktan should not be used. However, the Mishnah said, Vimhevi, if it was used, that it's kosher. Ask the Gemara for Tanya, do we not learn in the Braisa, Emevim and Fanktim, that Fanktim should not be used, Vimhevi Posel, Neshi Sraf. It should not be used because it's only secretion of the olive, not the actual olive oil. And as the Rishonim point out, there are two parts to the Gemara's question. The obvious part is that our Mishnah says that B'di Eved, you can use Fanktim. And the Gemara here is saying that even by the Evid, Emhevi Posel. But they go on to say that the Gemara's question is actually deeper. Because our Mishnah is listing olive oils. And olive oil, the Mishnah is saying, certain olive oils should be used, shouldn't be used, etc. Here, the Gemara, the Brice is saying that Emfanktin is not oil. Emfanktin is a secretion. So how does Emfanktin at all get into the Mishnah? To which the Gemara responds, Amar Rav Yosef lo kasha. Harab Chia, Harab Shimon Barabbi, Shimon Barabbi. It represents a machloikis of Rav Chia and Rav Shimon Barabbi. The Rav Chia, we find Zorakle, would throw out his infanctin. He considered it only a secretion, an inferior product, and therefore he discarded it. Rav Shimon Barabbi, Matlbei, he would use it as a dip, obviously considering it oil. The Simonech, and to remember who holds what, says the Gemara, Ashir Mekamsim. Wealthy people are more thrifty. What's Pshat? We all remember throughout Shas, the Rebbe is always used as an example of an extremely wealthy person. So obviously his son Reb Shimon was wealthy as well. He was his father's son. Yet we find Reb Shimon, the wealthy Reb Shimon, used this Amfankten, this clearly more inferior product. And the Farshim explain, why do we indeed find, as the Gemara says, that wealthy people are the ones who are specifically thrifty? The Farshim explain, I saw this from the Satmar Rebbe, Sekhrani Levracha, he explains that every person is put on this world with challenges. So he explains that for a poor person not to spend money on Gashmias, on unnecessary luxuries, is not a challenge. He doesn't have the money anyway. For a wealthy person to do that, that's considered a challenge. And the Gemara is saying that Rav Shimon, the wealthy Rav Shimon, met that challenge. Another very nice pshat that I saw is based on a very famous Gemara in Masechta Brachos, Daf Ches. The Gemara in Masechta Brachos says that when one would get married, the Marava Amri, when somebody got married, they would ask him, Motzah or Moitzah? What does that mean? The Gemara says, did you find a wife, Motzah Isha, Motzah Toiv? You were successful in finding a great mate? Or were you not successful, Moitzah Nimi Mamri Moves as the Isha? So what's the difference between the word Motzah and the word Moitzah? Motzah is spelled with a kametz. Moitzah is spelled with a chaylim. We also now explain the Mefarshim, that the bracha that comes into a Jewish home comes because of the woman. She brings bracha to the home. So says the Gemara, Ashirim, you know why somebody becomes wealthy? Mekamsim, because of the comets. Because Matzah Isha, Matzah Toiv. He was Zaycha to find a great wife. That great wife brings bracha to his home. Ashirim, they become Ashirim because of the comets. Another nice pshat that I saw is that we know that when we attend a Jewish wedding, what do we say? Simen Tov u'Mazel Tov. What's pshat Simen Tov u'Mazel Tov? So I saw the Sfarim say a very nice part. Sfarim suggests that wealthy people, that poor people have the characteristic of being generous, but don't necessarily have what to be generous with. Wealthy people, on the other hand, have mazel tov, so they have a simitov. They have good characteristics, but not anything to apply it to. Wealthy people have mazel tov. They're very lucky. They have a lot of money, but they're not simon tov. They don't use the money. As the Gemara says, they're stingy. So we come to a Jewish wedding and a new home is being built. We say that in this home, there should be simon tov. You should have the characteristic of being generous. And mazel tov, you should have what to be generous with. Says the Gemara. Shish chadashim shemen amar. We all remember the pasuk in the Megillah, that was the procedure, how women would prepare themselves before they met Achashverosh. Asked the Gemara, my shemen amar. And as the Gra explains, why do we need to know what shemen amar is? So he explains, because if somebody makes a nether that he's not going to benefit from shemen amar, we have to know what he can't use. Says the Gemara, Chuner Bechia Omar Sitkasa. It's Sitkasa. What is Sitkasa? Rav Yirmiyah ba Abba Omar Shemen Shleivi Shlish. Olive oil from olives that weren't a third ripe yet. So the Gra goes on to say that the pasuk says there in the Megillah, Shisha Chadash B'Shemen Amar, V'Shisha Chadash B'Psamim U'B'Tamrukei Hanoshim. So he says what the Gra says, what the pasuk is teaching us, is how a Jew is supposed to do tshuva. Shish chadash b'shemen hamar. Shemen hamar means bitter. So first the Jew has to be sur meira. He has to go away from doing averis. Shish chadash b'psamim u'v'tamrukei anashim v'asei toiv. Sur meira v'asei toiv. That's how you get to do tshuva. Tanya, Rav Yehuda Oima, and Fankton, we started this year. Shem seve shalvishlish. Lama sachan asoi. Why would somebody apply it? Shemeshir sasar. It takes off unwanted hair, ma'adan is a basar, and it helps the complexion. So we learned in the Mishnah, Eimavin, you cannot use olives, menagargam shenosh remayim, olives that were soaked in water. Tanabonin, shemzai is kovish, if it's pickled, sholuk boiled, shori soaked, v'shal shmorim, or if it's made out of sediment, v'shal reyach ra, or it has a bad odor, layevi, may not be used for the carbon mincha, v'mhevi, and if it was used, pasul, it's unacceptable. Ask the Gemara, as we've been having consistently throughout our shiurim, we know the halacha is that if somebody's magdisha behema, that's a balmum for carbon, is over five lav, and he gets malchus, so ask the Gemara, higdishu mahu, what would be the halacha if somebody's magdish this type of oil, ma shiyoka la mishum balmum, is it in the same category? Do we say, Kivin the Pasul, since we just said that all these types of oil are disqualified, Kabal Mam Dami, it falls into the category of Balmum, or Dumma, or perhaps Ain Balmum El Behema. Balmum is only on by Behema, and the Gemara again remains with a Taiku. So the Mishnah begins to describe what olives and what process is used in getting the olive oil, and what olive oil is used for what purpose. Says the Mishnah, Shloisha Zaysenhain. There are three types of olives. Rashi explains that olives on the tree ripen at three different types of times of the year. Tosfos is very bothered with that pshat. Because Tosfos quotes a Mishnah in Masechta Peya. The Mishnah in Masechta Peya, in describing where there is a Chiyah Peya and when there is no Chiyah Peya, says there's only a Chiyah Peya on a fruit or a produce that all ripens at the same time. That's why the Mishnah says in Masechta Peya that by Ta'enim, they don't all ripen at the same time, there is no Chiyah Peya. So if Rashi is correct, says Tosfos, that olives on the tree don't all ripen at the same time, why is the Chiyah Peya by olives? And therefore Tosfos, because of this question, has a whole different pshat in our Mishnah. He says that all the olives ripen at the same time. There's some are more ripe and some are less ripe. How do the Mefarshim defend Rashi's pshat? They explain that the Mishnah Masechta Peya doesn't mean that you have to have all the fruit or ripen exactly at the same moment. It's almost impossible for that to happen. What it means is that unlike Ta'enim, that a few Ta'enim ripen every day, so there's absolutely no issue of a season when everything ripens. By olives, all of the there are large clusters of olives that ripen at specific times. And according to Rashi, according to that Mishnah, Masechta Peya, that's good enough to be considered ripening at one time, since it's such a large group at a time, that there should be a Chiyah Peya. So again, says the Mishnah, Shloshah Zeisim Heim, the three times that the olives ripen, Behen, And each time you have a picking of olives, you have shloshe shloshe shmonim, three grades of oil. Hazayis harishin, the first type of olive, is megagre bereish hazayis. It's on the top of the olive tree, so it ripens first because it's most exposed to the sun. The kaitish, and you pound on it with a mortar. The nois l'teichasal, and then you put that olive that you cracked open into a basket. Rabbi Yehuda says, not in the bottom of the basket, rather you should put a tzvivas asal on the side of the basket. What's the machlokes about? According to Rabbanan, you put it into the bottom of the basket and it'll drip out. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned if you're going to put the olives on the bottom of the basket and there's also sediment going to the bottom of the basket, the oil will mix with the sediment. So to avoid that, don't put it on the bottom, put the olives on the side. Zerushin. That is the first category of olive oil. Chaz v'tayim b'kaira. Then you put a beam on it to extract more oil. Rabbi Yehuda, you shouldn't use a beam. You should use avonim, stones. Again, what's the machlokes? Because Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that if you're going to use a beam, a lot is going to come out of the olive, including the sediment. And we don't want any sediment mixing into the oil. Chaz v'tachon v'tan. Then the ground. Zeo shlishi. Harishin. What's called Rishon is kosher for the Menorah. We'll discuss this at length in the Gemara Be'ezer Hashem. The Shar and the other categories are for the Menachas. Sheni. What is Sheni? Megagra B'Rosh Hagag. Machlokes is what Megagra B'Rosh Hagag means. Some explain the Megagra B'Rosh Hagag means that the olives that are on the tree, not all the way in the top of the tree, but at the height of the house, the height of rooftops. So they're not that on top of the tree, they're not that exposed to the sun, but they're quite high. Others say Megagra B'Rosh Hagag is that when they're taken off the tree, since they were never really exposed to the sun, and as we said a moment ago, exposure to the sun helps ripening. So when you take it off the tree, the first thing you should do is put it on the roof. The kaitish, then pound on them. The nice one, tachasal, put it on the bottom of the barrel. Rabbi Yudaimer, again, the same machloikas, sviv of the soil. Zerishin. Time b'kaira, then put a beam on it, according to the Tanakama, according to Yehuda again, b'avonim, use stones, zeo sheni. Chaz v'tochan v'ton, then you do it, you grind it, zeo shlishi. And again, says the Mishnah, harishin, what's number one, is used for the menorah. Hashar, number two and three, are kosher for the menachas. Shlishi, the third type of olive, oitnoi, the base habag, you put it into the olive oil press. Machlok is what oitan is. Some say it's a pit. Some say it's a barrel. Out shiilka until it ripens. And then umaleyu umenagvoi b'roi shagag. And then it's taken up to the roof to dry by being exposed to the sun. Mefarshim point out, why are we not concerned that while it was in this basket, still as is clear in the Mishnah, there is oil that oozed out of the olives, which made those olives susceptible to tumah because they got exposed to liquid. So Mefarshim say that the liquid that oozed out of those olives is not oil, it's just a secretion, and oil is one of the liquids that's machsh lekabel tumah, but not moihel, not a secretion. Kaitish v'noisen, the taichasal, then after you have them ripe enough, crack them open and put them on the bottom of the barrel, according to Tanakama, Yudayim Sfivas Asal. Zerishin. Time b'kaira, then you grind it. Then you put a beam on it, according to Tanakama. Yehuda again, l'shitosei b'avonim, use stones. Zer sheni. Chaz v'tach v'tan, zer shlishi. Harishin, again here too. The category one is used for menaira. V'shar and the rest are used for menachas. Ask the Gemara. Ibayluhu. What does the Mishnah mean, ask the Gemara, when it says the word megalgalah? What is the proper word megalgaloi that or megargaroi? Megargaroi tanan or megalgaloi tanan? What's the difference between these two words? Megargaroi means that you pick the olives. You examine each olive that you're going to pick to see if it's properly ripened. Megalgaloi means that you leave them for a long time on top of the tree until they all ripen. What was exactly done? Toshma, says the Gemara, the Tanya, Sem Zayis, Mikan Amru, Zayas Rishin, Megalgaloi Barosha Zayas, and like the Mefarshim explained, they knew that this Brisa was a very accurate Brisa, and given that the Brisa says Megalgaloi, it's right that that's what should be done. The Kainzer Lebeis Abad, the Tarchna Beruchayim, the Noisen Besalin, Shemin Hayotzim Menuzel Yerishin, Tom Bekari, then you put a beam on it, Shemin Hayotzim Zel Yesheni, the Chazav Park Tach of Ton, Zel Yeshlishi. Harishin, category one is used for the Menorah, the Shah Lemenachas, and the rest is used for the Karbi Mincha. The Kain Zel Yesheni, the Zel Yeshlishi, that's the Kain Zel Yesheni, the same procedure is followed by Zel Yesheni, Zel Yeshlishi, Oitna Bebeis Abad, it's put into the press, Achiyoka until it ripens, Malay LaRosh Hagag, Voices are coming tomorrow, wide on the bottom, narrow on the top, Achi Zuva Maimov until the liquid comes out, the Kansel Beis Abad, V'Tochna Berchayim, V'Noisna Besalin, V'Shemen Hayotzim Menu Zal Yerishin, Talon Bekari, then you put a beam on it, Shemen Hayotzim Menu Zal Yesheni, Parak V'Chaz V'Tochna, then you grind it, V'Tochna Zal Yeshlishi. Harishin again is kosher for the use of the menorah, Bashar, and the rest is used for the Karbon Mincha. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, says, it wasn't ground, never do any grinding, just do use a mortar. Again, because grinding will get you not a pure enough oil. Furthermore, Rav Yehuda Lishitasa, as we learned, don't use a beam, it's too heavy. Again, not going to have pure oil. Ela bavonim. Use stones. V'loi ha'yunois na besalin. Don't put it into the basket, to the bottom of the basket, that the olive oil should mix with the sediment. Ela toichas fiyusar put on the side. Ask the Gemara, let's try to understand this price. Hagufa kasha. Let's try to understand this. Kaitishmani. Who is the mandam that says that you should use a mortar, not grind? Rabbi Yehudahi. But what is a Rehuda Shita? Rehuda Shita is that you should do it on the side of the barrel, not on the bottom of the barrel. But the Brisa says, Toichasal Osla Rabbanan. So what the Gemara's question is, who is the Tan of this Brisa? On one hand, it follows the opinion of Yehuda, don't do grinding, use a mortar. On the other hand, it seems to follow the opinion of Rabbanan, who say you could put it on the bottom of the basket, you don't need to put it on the side of the basket. So how do we reconcile? Who is the Tana? Says the Gemara. Hi Tana. It's a new Shita. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda regarding the way it should be extracted, not through grinding, rather through a mortar. On the other hand, he agrees with Rabbanan that you don't have to put the olives on the side of the basket, you could put it on the bottom of the basket. Interesting. Very interesting. Magen Avraham, that quotes the Maril. He says that the minig was not to use shemen zayis, not to use olive oil on Pesach. Why? Because as is very clear in our Gemara that we just finished learning, that how did they extract the olive oil? They used the machteshes. They used the mortar. And if you speak to people, even people not from that many years ago, a mortar was a basic piece of equipment in every kitchen. And they use the machteshes for spices and for all sorts of preparation of food. So the concern is that they're going to use the same machteshes that became chametzdig to make olive oil. And that's why the Magen Avraham quotes a minig from the Maril that they didn't use shemen zayis on Pesach. Of course, I don't know anybody that has that minig because nobody, first of all, most people don't have mortars at their home. And certainly nobody makes olive oil in their home. They're made in factories that only make olive oil. So we go further in the Mishnah. Harishin Shabarishin Ein Lamala Himena. Number one type of oil for number one type of olive is the best. Hasheni Shabarishin. Now the Mishnah goes on saying, we've learned so many times in our Shiurim that for a Karbon Mincha, you want to use Menamufcha, the best available. So the Mishnah is going to try to identify what is considered the best when you have a choice. Says the Mishnah, Hasheni Shabarishin, Varishin Shabasheni, the number two grade of the first type of olive and the number one grade of the second type of olive, Shavin, can equally be used for Karbon Mincha. Hashlishi Shabarishin, number three of the first type of aleph, the sheni shebisheni, or our rishon shebishlishi, are all in the same equivalent, shavim. Hashlishi shebisheni, number three, sheni shebishlishi, again, are considered equivalent, and of course points out the Mishnah, hashlishi shebishlishi, that is the most inferior. Ein lamati himana. Continues the Mishnah. Af kol ha-menachas ha-yibidin shi'tanu shemen. Zayizach. Really, says the Mishnah, if you thought about it, you should use the best type of olive oil for the menachas. Because makes the Mishnah the following point. Ma menorah she'en la'chila. The menorah, where the olive oil wasn't used for eating, it was used to light. Ton shemen zayizach. We've been learning that it has to use the best shebebez. Menachas she'en la'chila. So certainly the menachas that were eaten, so the Kohanim are going to eat from the Karim Mincha, Ein Adin Shitanu Shemen Zayizach. So, but we just finished learning two Mishnayos that that isn't Halacha. Tamaloymer, Zoch Kosis Lamar, Vein Zoch Kosis Menachas. So Mepharshim ask, at least a Pidrush, why not? What? Why isn't the Halacha? The Torah says not, but why not? So, there are many Pshatim. The simplest pshat, but it carries a very important lesson, is menachas represents gashmius. Like we just said, menachas is what's eaten. The mar, the menorah represents Torah, Torah ar. So the lesson of the mission is, when it comes for ruchnius, you should spend the best. You should use all of, you should be as generous as possible and get the best that's available to you. When it comes to menachas, when it comes for gashmius, anything is good enough. Others say, Zoch kasus lamar, vein zoch kasus lamenachos, means as follows. It speaks to Rabbanim. And the Rabbanim say, the Mishnah is teaching us, how are people supposed to influence other people? You're supposed to influence other people by mar, by making them great, by making them feel good, showing them that they illuminate the world. Vein zoch kasus lamenachos. To make a person menachos, lay down, that isn't the way to make a person great. That isn't the way to try to talk to people. There's a very interesting tshuva in the Shailos HaTshuvos Torah Lishma based on this Mishnah. The halacha gepaskin the Shulchan Aruch, we should never have the Shaila, is that let's say somebody has very limited funds, and he only has enough money either to buy candles for Shabbos or wine for Kiddush. What should he buy? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that he should buy candles for Shabbos. Why? Because we know that candles are lit for Shalom Bayis, and Shalom Bayis comes first. So the Shailos HaTshuvos Torah Lishma discusses the following situation. Baruch Hashem, the person, we're not dealing with a very wealthy individual, obviously, but the person has enough for candles, and he has enough for wine, and he has a little more. So what should he do now? Should he buy better wine, or should he buy better candles, better oil? What should he spend that extra money that he still has available to him? So he says, firstly, it makes sense to spend the money on the wine, because Kiddush is a chiyuv d'oraisa. Lighting candles is a chiyuv d'rabbanan. Moreover, he says, there's Kiddush by night, there's Kiddush by day, there's Havdalah. Three times you're going to use the wine. The candles you only light once. But then he says, our Mishnah helps us answer the question. Because what does our Mishnah say? That if not that the Torah told us differently, where should you spend your money? On eating rather than on lighting. So if you have an option where you spend your money on drinking wine, which you actually will drink, or using it for candles, which you're not going to, you're just going to use for illumination, unless the Torah tells you differently, like in the case of our Gemara, it's better to use it for eating. Continues the Gemara. Shavin. Our Mishnah says that they're all equal. For Sh'amrit, we just said, Rishalim Menoira, V'shalim Menachas. So we already learned the Mishnah accordingly. Amram Nachman Be'yitzchak, my Shavin, Shavin Menachas. The way to understand the Mishnah is, For the menorah, there's no discussion. We only have one option for the menorah. What is the one option available to us? Rishon Shebarishon. Now the question is that for the Karban Mincha, the Rishon is the only one, not the Rishon Shebarishon, Rishon of everyone. For Karban Mincha, we have many more options, so the Mar has to give us a set of priorities, which should we preferably use if we have the choice. So we learned in the Mishnah, Av Kol Menachas HaYibidin. It would make sense to use for minchas any type of oil, but the Torah tells us differently. So Gemara goes in Tanur Rabbanan Zoch, Ein Zoch Elanaki. So it's a beautiful vart. There was a Bayana Rebbe that lived in Krakow. His name was Reb Moshe. And he was also a Magid Shir in the Lublin Yeshiva, in Yeshivas Chachmi Lublin. So he says there are 27 letters in the Alabeis. Why are there 27 letters in the Alabeis? Because we have 22 letters in the Alabeis. And then there are five letters that we have, the Mansbach, that we have the Sofit, Mem Sofis, Nun Sofis, and the Mem. So 22 plus 5 equals 27. Zach. Zach means 27. Ain Zach. You know who's the person that should be the person who teaches Klal Yisrael Torah, which are written with 27 letters? Elonoki. Somebody who's a pure person. To find the Rebbe who's a quality individual. Yudaimer, Kossus, Ain Kossus El Kottush. Kossus means the ground. Yochel, Zach, Kossus, Possel, Menachus. Continues the Braisa, perhaps that you should not be allowed to use the grade one for the Karban Mincha. So this is a very, very difficult line of Gemara. Or obviously, all the Mefarshim are troubled with this line. Why would we think that you can't use the best? You don't have to use the best, but why would we think that you're not allowed to use the best? So I saw a number of Terutzim. There are many Terutzim said to this. One Terutz is that even though the Rishon is better, but the Sheni and Shlishi have an advantage that they're sweeter. So since, as we've been saying constantly this year, that the Karban Mincha is eaten, so maybe there's specifically an issue, there's a point to use Sheni and Shlishi because you'll get a better taste. That's one pshat that I saw. It's a difficult pshat because then it turns out that it's not worse. And as far as we're concerned, it'll be better. Another pshat that I saw, a very nice pshat, is that we want to differentiate, and as will become clearer in our share, we want to differentiate between the menorah, which represents the Shechina, and the mincha, which represents us. So maybe we should specifically ask the Braisa use an inferior quality oil for the mincha, and like that we'll be showing greater respect to the menorah, that we reserve the higher level for the menorah. A third pshat that I saw is that we know when we speak about the Ketairis, there were Yud Al Samamonim, there were 11 ingredients. And one of the ingredients was the Chalbana. And the Gemara says that the Chalbana actually was foul-tasting. But why did they bring the Chalbana? To represent that there's a place at the table of Klal Yisrael for all types of Jews. So maybe the lesson asked the Gemara, asked the Braisa, is that we should specifically, when we bring a Karban Mincha, bring an inferior type of oil to show the lesson. It doesn't make a difference. You don't have to be the best. You belong at the table of Klal Yisrael. Tam Loimer, Visaron Tzolos Bolo B'Shemen Kossus. That you use that for the Karban Mincha. So ask the Gemara, Imke Ma Tam Loimer Lamar, Elevim Nechisachin. That even though you may use olive oil, the best grade olive oil for the Karban Mincha, the Torah doesn't require us to. The Torah is concerned about our expenses. Maichisachin, Amr Belazar, HaTorah Chosam Amanish Yisrael. As the Mefarshim will explain, olive oil was used, a little olive oil was used every day to light the menorah. But Karban Minchas, so many Karban Minchas were brought, that we've been learning in our Masechta, most of them using olive oil. So there's a tremendous amount of olive oil used in the Beis HaMikdash. And the more inferior grade is cheaper. And that's why they wanted to use that. What does it mean? Where do we know, we spoke about this, that a Torah Chosam Amanim Shal Yisrael, first, explain, there are two sources for it. One is, the Torah says, Ufinus Abayis, that if the Kohen comes to examine the house, if it has a nega, he says, take everything out. So as the Gemara says, most of the kelim you take out, even if they're tamei, you can be matar them. It's only the klicheris that we know can't be taken to a mikvah, but klicheris are the least expensive kelim. The Torah still says, Ufinus Abayis, that they shouldn't be broken, because that's the only way you could remataur them if they became tamei, and if they were in the house, once the Kohen declared the house as tamei, they automatically become tamei. Another makar, we learned the other day, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make the nes of speaking to the stone and the water came out, v'hishka es eida v'es v'iram. Not only for the people does Hashem make nisim, but Hashem makes nisim even for animals. There's a beautiful, beautiful vart from the Chedusha Harim on this Gemara. We all recall the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. What was the Neis Chanukah? That they only found one pach shemen b'chosamai shel kohen gadol. That's how the Gemara begins. So what's Chassam Shal Kohen Gadol mean? It doesn't mean that the Kohen Gadol gave the Hechsher. The Kohen Gadol wasn't in the Kashrus business. So what does it mean by Chassam Shal Kohen Gadol? So the Chedusha Rim explains that we know that the Kohen Gadol had to have olive oil, because we've learned, we're actually going to learn it much more in the next parak, that the Kohen Gadol brought Chavite Kohen Gadol every day that had in it olive oil. Says the Chedusha Rim that even though the Chavite Kohen Gadol were clearly a Karban Mincha, and the halacha, as we've been learning, is that a Karban Mincha could be brought from not the best quality oil, the Kohen Gadol was Mahadar, and he used the best oil available for his Karban Mincha. And that's why, when the Neis Chanukah happened, they only found one pach b'chaysomei she Kohen Gadol. It was what the Kohen Gadol had put away for his Karban Mincha. But because the Kohen Gadol, Baruch Hashem, was so careful to use the highest quality oil, they were able to divert it for the menorah. Says the Chedush Harim, now we can understand something. We all know that by Chanukah, there's Mahadrin, and Mahadrin min Mahadrin, which we don't find by any other mitzvah. This concept of Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Mahadrin. Why only by Chanukah? So he said, because the whole Neis came because the Kohen Gadol was a Mahadr. That he didn't have to use that olive oil, but he was Mahadr mitzvah to use that best olive oil. So the whole Neis came because of the Hiddur. So it makes sense, the Chanukah should be the Yontav where we follow that minig of Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin. Continues the Gemara, Tavis B'nai Yisrael, V'yukla Lech Hashem and Zayi Zoch, Amr Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Elecha v'loy li. The oil that you put to light the menorah is not for my needs. Loy lo ira nitzarech, I don't need the light. Shulchan b'tzofen, the shulchan, says the Gemara, was put on the tzofen side of the Beis HaMikdash, u'menorah b'dara, Amr Zreika, Amr b'lozer, and the way Mefarshim explained, normally, you have the candles near your table, so you should be able to see what you're eating. Here, they were distant from each other. They were on the two different sides of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? The lesson being, loy l'achila nitzaruch v'loy l'oira nitzaruch. I don't really need to eat. I don't need to really light. And therefore, what's done by human beings is not done by Hashem. Beautiful word here from the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi says as follows. When you enter the Beis HaMikdash, somebody entering the Beis HaMikdash would find the shulchan on his right side, and he would find the menorah on his left side. He says it doesn't make sense, especially what we've been saying in our shiur today. He says the menorah represents Torah, and the shulchan represents Gashmias. So what's more important, Ruchnias or Gashmias? Certainly Ruchnias. And we always know that the right is better than the left. So shouldn't the menorah be on the right and the shulchan on the left? We find just the opposite, asked the Beis HaLevi. So he says a powerful lesson. He says as follows. We know that the left represents learning Shloi Lushma. Erech Meran B'minai, Oish V'chavet Smailai, says the Gemara, what does the Smailai mean? L'masmilim ba. What is masmilim? People who learn Torah Shloi Lushma. So he says, when it comes to learning Torah, of course, everybody should strive to learn Torah Lushma, but you can also learn Torah Shloi Lushma. Shloi Lushma, Ba Lushma. So the menorah is put on the left side. But when it comes to eating or gashmias, there's no room for shloi lishma. When you serve Hashem in the gashmias, there's no shortcuts. And that's why the shulchan, which represents the way we work and the way we eat and the way we talk, our mundane things, there's no room for anything but perfection. It's on the right side. Continues the Gemara. V'yas labayis. The pasuk in Malachim, in describing the building of the Beis HaMikdash, says they made windows, chalune shkufim atumim, tana shkufim b'fnim, v'atumim b'chutz. Which means as follows. Usually a window that we know is straight sides. But sometimes a window is built that it spreads out. So if you're going to build a window for your house, how would you build it? You'd have that it should be narrower on the outside and wider on the inside. Like that you'll get more light in your home. Here we have just the opposite. They were narrower on the inside and wider towards the outside. The lesson being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need light. So it doesn't make a difference that it's darker inside. Of course, I saw Ramey Shapiro explained what's the lesson of this Gemara. He says the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to spread the light to the rest of the world. So that's why the window spread outside the aur of the Beis Hamikdash, that light, that Kedusha, should spread out. Continues the Gemara. Mechutz lepreichus edus oil mayid. Here we describe the menorah. Edus hu lechal by oilam sheshchina shayr b'Yisrael. It's edus that the shchina b'Yisrael. Vim timer. And if you'll say that the reason a menorah was put into the Beis Hamikdash, into the Mishkan, is l'ayur ani tzarech, is because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, needs the light. Says the Gemara, v'lo kol abam shana shahoch Yisrael b'midbar, all 40 years that Klal Yisrael went in the midbar l'hoch el oira. So Tosfos asked the obvious question, do we need a raya from the 40 years of the midbar? Every second that there's a sun and that there's light in the world comes from Hashem. Tosfos, other Rishonim explain, of course, all the light that exists in the world comes from Hashem. But in the midbar, they had a higher level manifestation of the light of Hashem. They had the Eish, Damura Eish, Damura Onon. So why did they have this? To teach us, why did they also have... So they already had a manifestation that there's Shechina amongst Klal Yisrael. So why do they need to have a menorah as well? It comes just to serve the purpose of showing us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is amongst us. How does it serve as testimony to that? Amarava, it refers to the Ne'er Maravi, Shenaisna Bashemen, that they put into it oil, Keneged Chavrisal, as much oil was put into the other candles, was put into the Ne'er Maravi. We're going to spend a lot of time later in our Masechta discussing how the menorah looked. Either the Ne'er Maravi is the second candle, or the Ne'er Maravi is the middle candle, Machlokes Rishonim, or Imena Hayamadlik, that was the first candle to be used, Abaha Yimisayim. Interesting, we know that the Gemara says that the Ner Maravi remained lit all of the time. So, which leads itself to a question, if it remained lit all the time, till the time of Shimon HaTzadik, how would they mekayim the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner in the Beis Hamikdash if it's on all the time anyway? So I saw two different approaches in the Achroinim. One approach in the Achroinim is that there's no mitzvah to light the menorah. There's a mitzvah to have the candle on. So if it's on without me lighting it, it's good enough. Others, however, say the halacha is on Shabbos. Let's say you have an oil candle. You have a cup of oil with a wick in it. And the candle is lit. The wick is lit. But you just add oil to that cup. It's considered mavir. So that's what they did with the Ner Maravi. Itaka didn't go out. But if it didn't go out, Itaka didn't go out. But if it didn't go out, how did they do the mitzvah? By adding oil. Which really comes to a much more fundamental question. The fundamental question is the mitzvah to light, or is it just the mitzvah to make sure it's lit? So if the mitzvah is just to make sure it's lit, the Avnei Nezer discusses this. So by adding oil, you will mekayim the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is to specifically light, then you don't have that issue. Also, very interesting vart I saw from the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe, Reb Socha Doiv, says that even in the time, after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, where they weren't zoicha, that the Ner Maravi should be on all of the time, on Shabbos it always stayed on all of the time. So they shouldn't have a question on Chil Shabbos that they had to light a new candle. So I saw a vart for Rav Shalom Shadron. We all know that in Pirkei Avos it says, Asara Nisim, there was 10 Nisim that happened on a constant basis in the Beis Hamikdash. So the question he asks is, why does our Gemara say that the Nes that represents showing us that the Shechina, Shaira B'Yisrael, is after the Nes of the Menorah, more than any other Nisim? He says, what's unique about that, this Nes versus all the other Nisim? This Nes involves human intervention. That the person had to light the menorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our participation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make all the Nisim he wants. But he wants us to take the initiative. We light the menorah, and after we light the menorah, Hashem shows that the Shechina Shara B'Yisrael. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk that we've been working with in our shir a lot of consistently today, Kosas Lamar, Lahalois Ner Tamid. explain the Mefarshim. The word kosis is tof, chof tof, your tof. Chof tof is 420. Your tof is 410. Kosis. We had the second base of Migdash for 420 years. Chof tof. Your tof, we had the first base of Migdash for 410 years. But those bases where we had the menorah, where we had the mor, we had the light of the menorah, but then those batei mikdash were destroyed. But the next base of mikdash will be lahalos ne'er tamid. When the Mitzvah Mashiach comes, beheir v'yameinu, and the base of mikdash comes, and we'll again have the menorah, that will be tamid, that will remain forever with no more chorban. We should be zeichet to it immediately.